Amen. Psalm 1 tells us how we can continually live a blessed life every day. It's only six verses, and I'm not going to deal with all six verses today, but we've got to look at it from God's perspective. There's two ways, and only two ways that we can live, because there's only two ways, and there's only two kinds of people that God sees, the righteous and the wicked.
That's right. That's right.
There are no in-between categories. There's no gray area. I know we like to make gray. There's no shades. There's no 50 shades of gray, ladies. I know y'all read that book. Don't worry, the movie's getting ready to come out if you didn't read the book. Amen. Church quiet. So, in these few verses that we're going to talk about, we've got to look at it from God's perspective of what it is that he calls blessing. The first thing is we're going to deal with the way of the righteous. I'm not going to deal with the way of the wicked tonight. We don't have time. But it is possible for a person to have a truly blessed and happy life. Now you've got to come up with what is the definition of blessed or happy. According to the Hebrew, it means to be rightly related to God in such a way that you have deep personal satisfaction. Let me say it again, because we mistake blessing in many different ways. We take getting something as a blessing. But the definition of blessing is when you're in such a relationship with God that you have satisfaction with him alone. See, the car he gives you may be an extension of the blessing, but the blessing is God. I asked you how many want to live a blessed life. Y'all said, hey! Now I got to get you past the stuff and get you the blesser. See, some of us are missing our blessing because we're missing the blesser, and we're replacing the blesser with the thing. And God has blessed you, but you're missing it because you're not looking at him, you're looking at the stuff. And when you don't have the stuff, you're saying I'm not blessed. And God says, I'm right here. This sort of happiness is not related to your circumstances. This sort of happiness is God is not conditioned on whether things are up or down for you. This sort of happiness has everything to do with who God is and where you lie within him. Blessed is the man that walks, and we're going to get into that, but that does not walk. You find happiness not by seeking it.
Amen. Amen.
You find this happiness not by seeking it. You find it by doing certain things and by not doing other things. Things are a result of this happiness. Things are not the happiness.
That's right.
That's why 100 years ago, our grandparents had nothing, but they knew this happiness.
Yes, well, that's right.
Then how could they in 1865, 1925, and 1935 have been happy when they had nothing in the pressure? Didn't have a right to vote. Women couldn't vote. Couldn't walk down the street. Fear of being lynched. Yet they had a happiness that we don't even have with all the stuff. So we got to redefine blessing, and we got to see the way God sees it. And first off, remember, God only sees two kinds of people. So you got to define for yourself which one you are that is going between. You find happiness not by seeking it, but by doing certain things. Example, happiness is like a cat. Now my wife hates cats. She's not going to relate to this. But anybody that's had a cat knows this. If you go after the cat's going to run from you. Most cats run from you because they're very independent. So if you go to seek it, you go after it, it's going to run from you. Especially if you're a stranger. But if you go about your everyday, daily life, steadily, and routinely, doing what you're supposed to do, and that cat gets used to you, that cat will find itself coming up to your feet and curling up right next to you. Because you didn't have to go after it, it came to you. If we go after God, you'll find the happiness comes to you.
That's right.
It'll curl up at your feet. And it'll make itself snug and cozy right next to you. Our problem is we're chasing after happiness and it's fleeing.
Come on.
It's running away. And it's running away, one, because our definition of happiness is wrong.
Amen.
And two, if we really get God, we need to be running to him, not running to stuff.
Amen.
That's the Psalm 1 assures us that it's possible to live a blessed and happy life.
That's right.
But only on God's terms. How many are willing to do it on God's terms?
Amen.
Don't make that a New Year's resolution. resolution, make that a resolution, period.
Amen.
The world will offer you temporary thrills. It will offer you momentary pleasure, no doubt about it. Been there and done that. But sooner or later, it's going to fade. Sooner or later, you have to pay the bill. Sooner or later, there's a strength match. You're not going to get it for free. God gives you what he wants to give you for free. It costs his son something, but it costs you nothing to get it. So if you want true, authentic joy and peace, you're only going to find it in the Lord. That sounds cliche-ish. Let me tell you something. Live out in that world and try to live out in the world without the Lord and see how long your joy lasts. See how long your satisfaction lasts. It won't, it's fleeting. It was never meant to last. Because the essence of your hope and your satisfaction has got to be in the one that made you.
Yeah.
He didn't make you for stuff. I need you to go into 2015 understanding. Enjoy stuff, but don't find yourself wrapped up in stuff. Stuff can't keep you. The only one that can keep you is the one that made you. So therefore, you got to develop a relationship. You've got to not only develop the relationship, you've got to nurture the relationship. Amen. First point, I'm going to come to 2 points tonight. That blessedness begins with the negative, not the positive.
That's true.
According to the scripture. Look at the scripture. Look what it says. Blessed are those who do not walk. It's not the positive. It's telling you what not to do. Your blessing starts with what you don't. See, most of us are thinking our blessing starts with what I do. The psalmist says your blessing starts with what you don't do. He says, blessed are those who do not walk in step with the wicked, or do not stand in the way the sinners take, or do not sit in the company of mockers. Amen. So if it's going to start with the negative, let's see where it's taking us. Consider the progression. It says, walk, stand, sit. They don't walk in the counsel of the wicked, they don't stand in the way of sinners, and they don't sit in the seat of mockers. First, that means the man is walking down the road. He's walking. He stops to hang out or to stand in the way with sinners. Eventually, they prove such good company that he takes a seat. I'm not making, that's what the scripture is saying. It says walk, stand, sit. You're walking down the road. You come up on a sinner. Instead of walking the other way or living godly, you stand with the sinner and he starts rubbing off on you. After a while, he rubs off on you to the point you don't even stand anymore. You get comfortable. And you sit in. And your morals decay. And your thoughts change. And your actions. Bible says, blessed is the man that does not do that.
Yeah.
So for all of you to say, yeah, I want the blessing, then you got to make sure that you're not doing any of those three. Church
That's
part.
Right.
Sin never stands still. Its whole purpose is to control you and to control me. And what it does is it does it slyly. Very rarely you're going to come up on a person that has a placard on them that says, hey, I'm a sinner and I hate God and I reject God. You're going to be around people that are going to very casually show you that they reject God. But if you're not careful, then you'll go from walking to standing, to stopping, to standing, to sitting. Which means if you stop, you are no longer on your way to where God had you to go. And we even in the church get caught up in our own way or in the sinner's way. And I'm talking about people who are saved, but get caught up in the wrong way. This year coming in, you got to make a determination. See, the blessed man will not just take every line of thinking that comes down the pipe.
That's right.
No matter what's on the TV, no matter what Steve Harvey says, no matter what's in the paper, no matter what Oprah writes out, the righteous man is going to base his thinking and his movement on the word of God.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
Casual contact will lead to a declaration of personal allegiance after a while. What you think was casual, you'll have a declaration of personal allegiance if you're not careful. Before you know it. Because again, it's subtle. Blessings come not only from what we do, but also from what we don't do. Increasing closeness and permanence of association will lower your inhibitions. The very thing you never used to say, you find yourself starting to say. First Corinthians says it this way. Do not be misled. Bad company corrupts good character. King James says evil company corrupts good morals. It's the same thing. You go to church, you're Johnny Good Church Christian. You go out, you get in the street, you hang with Bad Sam. You just hang with him. Just hang around him long enough. One of two things is going to happen. Either you're going to change him, or he's going to change you. But somebody's going to change. Because we are creatures of our environment. And whichever's the stronger of the two, Johnny or Sam, the other's going to change. Now here it is. If you sleep with pigs, and you walk with pigs, talk with pigs, you're going to get up there. Now there's somebody going to say, well, Pastor, hold on. How are we supposed to reach the lost then? Are you telling me we can't associate with the lost? First off, I never said don't associate with the lost. I never said don't get to the point where you don't speak to the lost. I said you shouldn't be hanging with the lost. And let me tell you something. The way to win the lost, the way to win the lost to Christ is not by living like the lost.
Amen.
The way to win the lost is to love the lost and live like you're saved. You got to love them as they are, but you got to live like you're saved. If you live and talk like they do, what do they see in you that they want? Well, I got to get them this way. No, you got to get them the right way. Because what you want them to see is the rightness of God in you. Anything else they see is not going to change them. They're already that anyway. As we all once were already that. I guarantee you, for everybody that's saved in here, there was at least one person you saw that didn't conform to what the society said. That despite what they were going through, showed you something different, spoke a little differently, thought a little differently, and you said, man, there is a possibility that this God exists. How do I know? Because when I look at that person, I see something about that person that lets me know I don't have to stay lost. But if that very person acted like you were already acting, then you would have been attracted. The church has a mandate to stop living like the world. You're in the world, but you're not of the world. Stop living like the world. God has called you out of the world not to live like the world, but to go into the world and live like you're Christ.
Come on.
Second point, the blessing that comes from building your life on the word of God. It says what? It says, here's where the positive part of the ledger comes in. It says you got to know God's word. It says that you must delight. Delight means to take great pleasure in something or someone. Let me say it real clear. Everybody in here delights in something or someone. The question is, what are you delighting? It says this person, the blessed person, loves the law of God and delights in what? Meditating on it day and night. Which means if he takes pleasure, she takes pleasure in it, your delight determines your direction. Let me say it again. Your delight determines your direction. You all delight in something. Your direction as to where you're going and where you've been going is based on your delight. I see your faces. Let me tell you something. You can say God all day long, but if your delight is not God, you're going this way. Your delight is going to determine where you go. And I'm not talking about, I heard Sister Burley, I'm talking about riches. You're right. It ain't about all that. I'm talking about your delight determines your direction as to where you go spiritually, where you go in this world, how you go in this world, who you interact with in this world, and the power you have to impact somebody in this world. It's all based on your delight. If you have no delight for the things of God, then you can say God all day long.
Yes, Lord.
But God ain't going to change you.
Amen.
Somewhere on the line, you've got to yield to this. And you know what? It's not hard. It just comes down to where your heart is.
Amen.
Everybody in here, after a certain age, has experienced what we like to call, and I say like to call, love, because some of us don't even have to know what love is. But we get this feeling. I'm in love. And when you're in love, you delight in the object of your love, whoever it is. That person may not even be near you. And you think about that person, and your heart breaks. You think about that person, and you start daydreaming it when you're working. You think about that person and you can't sleep at night because you're wondering what the person's doing. Everybody's got a delight in something or someone. And God says the blessed person delights in him.
Amen.
doesn't mean there's not room for your wife or your daughter or your son or your brother. It does mean they don't replace the light you have for the Lord.
Amen.
The Bible says they meditate on it day and night. Meditate means to digest something thoroughly. Meditate means to chew it, swallow it, regurgitate it, chew it, swallow it, regurgitate it, chew it. To break it down, to mush. The scripture says you are to meditate on his word, to take a phrase, to take a word, to take a scripture, and chew it, swallow it, chew it some more. See every angle of that scripture. See what God is saying to you in that scripture. Swallow it. Now, get some more, because there's still some more in it, because you will never exhaust the word of God. You can't chew on it too much. Every time you chew on it, you'll get more nutrients. Y'all looking at me like I'm crazy. Take some time and study the word. Don't read it. Don't peruse it. Don't scan it. Get one scripture. Just one. Not even two. One scripture. Read that one. Meditate. Close it. Walk away. Think on it the rest of the day. Come back. Read that same scripture again. You do that on that scripture, I guarantee you, within a week, you will have so much illumination on what God is saying in that scripture, and it will change how you think, how you walk, how you talk. The reason we're not changing is because we ain't chewing. We're either not biting at all, or we're biting and we take off too big a chunk, so we spit it out. Or we take just so small that it slides down and then we never even chew it. Church quiet. I wish I had y'all. I'll tell you what I'm going to do for you. I'm going to end it with this. The Bible says it's like a tree planted by the water. Big trees have big roots. All trees have roots, but big trees have big roots. In fact, the sequoias out in California, which are, I don't even know how tall they think, but somewhere 10 feet tall, higher than that thing. As high as they are above ground, their roots go that far, if not further, below ground. Yes, the reason they can stand as long as they stood, and the reason they can stand as strong as they stand, is because their roots are so strong that it holds them. And you want to know what makes you strong, or you want to know if you're strong? Not when the sun is shining or there's a gentle pitter-patter of the rain, but when a storm comes in your eyes. The storm is going to test what kind of roots you got. See, because the branches don't determine. Let me tell you something. The tree above the ground is not what determines the tree standing. It's the tree below the ground. See, listen. Some of y'all come to church and look real good above the ground. But what determines whether you can stand or not is how rooted are you in Christ. That when the wind comes and bends what's above ground, the roots stand still. That there's moisture in the roots so that when the sun is scorching you and you would want to dry out above ground, there's enough moisture in your roots to keep you from drying. But you can't get that if you don't delight in the Lord and if you don't chew on it day and night. Because if you don't, not if the storms, when the storm comes, and it's coming, it may break off a limb, but it shouldn't break the trunk. And what will determine how well you stand is how deep are your roots. What kind of root system do you have today? What kind of root system are you going into 2015 with? And if you don't have it, what kind of root system are you resolved to say, I'm going to acquire? I'm going to dig in, Father. It says its leaf won't wither. It says it will produce fruit in its season. Producing fruit in the season means it's like a fir tree. You ever see evergreen? They're always the same year round. They don't produce fruit. I'm talking about the pine cones. I'm talking about the leaf itself. The leaf will not wither. See, you should be able to produce fruit in good time.
Amen.
And when it produces fruit in its season, it is speaking about the fact that it produces what's inside. See, the only reason you know an apple tree is because it brings apples. Only reason you know a lemon tree is because it produces lemons. Only reason you know an orange tree is because it produces oranges. So what God is saying is the way I know what kind of tree you are is by the fruit you produce. See, you can look real good in the wintertime, but in the spring and fall, I'm going to know what you are. In the wintertime, there's nothing there to tell. So they all look the same. But when we start blossoming, you can only blossom with what you got on the inside. And some of us are wondering why we're blossoming dead fruit. I'm done. You got to be like a tree planted by the water. Because the roots will find their way to the water. What's the water? Jesus. What's the root? Your spirit. You got to dig in deep in your spirit. So I don't know how to do that, Pastor. I'll tell you how you start doing it. Just start talking to God. Amen. I didn't go to Bible school. Just start talking to God and being real with God right where you are, about who you are, even your inadequacies, even your frailties, even your anger, even your everything. Just start talking to God and let Him get inside of you.
Yes,
Lord. And see, you can fake in front of me if you want to.
That's your business. It ain't going to get you nothing. But you can fake in front of me if you want.
You can't fake in front of God. God already knows. God wants you to be real with Him. Not because He wants to beat you. He wants you to be real with Him so He can change you. But as long as you're sitting there lying to yourself and to God, you will stay the same. 2015, make a resolution. Lord, my roots need to be deeper. Lord, I need more water. Lord, my leaf is withering, but you told me it wouldn't. Blessed is the man that doesn't. But it does. Be careful where you walk. Be careful where you stand. Be careful where you sit.
Yeah.
Make sure your roots get wet.
Yeah.
Make sure your roots get deep. Make sure your leaf don't wither.
Yeah.
And make sure you produce some fruit.